All television and radio stations in the United States will now cease their regular programming.
Trump is officially pulling the United States out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement, and as you can see here, he said we're getting out, but we'll start to negotiate and we'll see if we can make a deal that's fair. Also, McMaster, the National Security Advisor, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, will be attending the Bilderberg meeting this week. His name is on the participant list, as you can see here. So you want to figure that into the equation if you want to understand what's really going on here. You might also want to read the last page of the Grand Chessboard by Zbigniew Brzezinski, where, as you can see, he calls for the eventual upgrading of the existing and increasingly antiquated UN structures. A new distribution of responsibilities and privileges can then take into account the changed realities of global power so drastically different from those of 1945. He's talking about upgrading the existing and increasingly antiquated UN structures. Not upgrading the UN, but the UN structures, the skeletal structure of the actual New World Order. Look at this article on the New American, Repeal and Replace the UN, a False Solution. Even as the crimes and failures of the United Nations have become irrefutable and its former defenders have taken to attacking it, globalists are pushing for its replacement, not its closing, with the United Nations becoming increasingly controversial in the United States and beyond. The chorus to start dismantling it is growing louder and louder, and it is getting to be mainstream. Indeed, even many neoconservatives, perhaps hoping to keep what remains of their conservative credibility, appear to be joining the bandwagon. In recent years, and especially in recent months, with the realization that more and more Americans are waking up to the evil of the UN, the calls for replacing the UN with some sort of democratic version of it are growing louder. Again, last page of the Grand Chessboard by Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of the top tacticians of the One World Political System before he died last month. But that really doesn't mean anything because the blueprint continues, as you can see here. An eventual upgrading of the existing and increasingly antiquated UN structures. A new distribution of responsibilities and privileges can then take into account the changed realities of global power so drastically different from those of 1945, and the Paris Climate Change Agreement is what? The result of the United Nations Climate Change Conference in 2015. The COP21 was held in Paris from November 30th to December 12th, 2015. Negotiations resulted in the adoption of the Paris Agreement on December 12th, governing climate change reduction measures from 2020. And now Trump has pulled the United States out of the climate deal, which was made at the 2015 United Nations Climate Change Conference. McMaster is going to Bilderberg, and globalists are pushing for the replacement of the United Nations, as was prescribed by Brzezinski back in 1997 in the Grand Chessboard. Having covered the one world political system that emerges at the beginning of the 5-month-long Hour of Temptation in verses 21 through 30, and the religious system that emerges after the deadly wound to the political system whenever Satan appears as the false Christ in verses 31 through 45, we now back up to verses 16 through 20 and the predecessors to that final one world system, with really the theme of Daniel 11 being the history of globalism. So beginning with verse 16, we now rewind for a closer look at the first two attempts at one world government, first with the League of Nations in verses 16 through 19, followed by the United Nations in verse 20. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land which by his hand shall be consumed. And here we see the League of Nations personified. The glorious land here is, of course, the land of Israel. And it was Article 22 of the Covenant of the League of Nations, along with the Balfour Declaration, that paved the way for the Fig Tree Generation to begin in 1948, with the state of Israel coming into being. Kenite-occupied Israel in 1948. Recognized by both the King of the South, the United States, that is to say, Manasseh, as well as the King of the North in 1948. The United States and the Soviet Union, the two superpowers, that is to say, Jacob and Esau. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him, talking about the League of Nations here. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. When you look up this word daughter in your Strong's Concordance, you will find over and over again, daughter of Zion, daughter of Jerusalem, daughter of Judah, daughter of my people, Jerusalem. And again, Article 22 of the Covenant of the League of Nations was mandatory Palestine. After this, he shall turn his face unto the isles and shall take many. The League of Nations had 42 founding members, excluding the United States of America. 16 of them left or withdrew from the international organization. The Kingdom of Yugoslavia was the only founding member to leave the League and return to it later, and remain so a member until the end. In the founding year, 6 other states joined. Only 2 of them would have a membership that lasted until the end. In later years, 15 more countries joined. 3 memberships would not last until the end. Egypt was the last state to join in 1937. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, Esau, that is to say, the King of the North, was expelled from the League on December 14, 1939. 5 years after it joined on September 18, 1934, Iraq was the only member of the League that at one time was a League of Nations mandate. Iraq became a member in 1932, according to the New World Encyclopedia. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Without the United States as a member, the League of Nations could never be the one-world government the Kenites were attempting to formulate. Then he shall turn his face toward the ford of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. With the Covenant of the League of Nations originating in the Paris Peace Conference, a look at what happened to France during World War II illustrates what a failed attempt at peace this was. When World War breaks out, it's safe to say the attempt at world peace was a failure. But it did provide the skeletal structure for the next attempt at world peace, the United Nations. And verse 20 of Daniel chapter 11 reads as follows. Then shall stand up in his estate, in the estate of the League of Nations, according to this hypothesis, a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. The Interlinear Bible by J.P. Green translates this verse as, then one who sends a tax exactor shall stand in his place. So we're not talking about a raiser of taxes, but one who sends a raiser of taxes for the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he will be broken, but not in anger and not in battle. And again, from the New World Encyclopedia, the UN is an international organization established in 1945 for the purpose of securing world peace. It replaced its predecessor, the League of Nations, which had failed to prevent war between nations. It was founded by 51 nations led by the Allied powers after World War II. Now with 192 members, the organization's structure still reflects the geopolitical circumstances at its founding. On the United Nations Security Council, the body with the ability to enforce its decisions, there are 5 permanent members with veto power: the United States, the King of the South, Russia, the King of the North, the United Kingdom, also the King of the South, France, and the People's Republic of China, Red China, and neither Russia nor the PRC were originally permanent Security Council members but took over the seats of the Soviet Union, which supposedly fell in 1992, and the Republic of China, the UN membership of which was withdrawn in 1971. This time with Ephraim, Judah, and Manasseh as members, with the UN headquarters even in the land of Manasseh, New York City, that is to say, where there's a heavy sprinkling of Kenites, incidentally, the United Nations would for many decades forcefully hammer out the infrastructure of the future New World Order via all four hidden dynasties, education, economics, politics, and religion, with President Bush proclaiming on January 16, 1991, "This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order," there it is again, "an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders." So then who is this raiser of taxes the United Nations sends? Remember to think global as far as this chapter is concerned. You could even subtitle it The History of Globalism, as in a global carbon tax. So that brings us up to current time as far as Daniel 11:20 is concerned, the United Nations being, in my opinion, the one who sends out the raiser of taxes, speaking of the global carbon tax. But we're still not in the one world political system written of in verses 21 through 30. That doesn't emerge until the woe of the fifth trumpet, whenever all four of the beasts written of in Daniel 7 emerge out of the sea. The lion, the bear, the leopard, and Daniel's fourth beast. And as it's written in the 21st verse of Daniel chapter 11, "And in his estate, in the estate of the United Nations, which stood up in the estate of the League of Nations, shall stand up a vile person in the one world political system, the dragon, Satan, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries," that's deception. This vile person is Satan himself, once he's cast from heaven to the earth at the woe of the fifth trumpet. As it's written in Revelation 12, starting with verse 7, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So Daniel 11:21 through 30 covers the first half of the 5 months, the political, beginning with Satan and his angels being cast to the earth at the woe of the fifth trumpet, and Daniel 11:31 through 45 covers the religious system, the last half of the 5 month period. There are four stages of the locust army given in the book of Joel. In the Hebrew, they are the gnawer, the swarmer, the devourer, and the consumer. The locust army are exclusively the fallen angels, so these four stages would have to occur during the 5 months. We've seen types, but those are just types. The real McCoy are Satan's angels that are cast out of heaven with him at the beginning of the 5 months. The first three stages most likely occur in the first half of the hour of temptation. The fourth and final stage begins when Satan appears at the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial. The entire timeline of the five-month-long hour of temptation is outlined in Daniel 9:27, where it says, "And he, Satan, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, which is the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease," these sacrifices nowadays being sacrifices of love and of our time through Christ to the Father. He'll cause that to cease because they'll cease to worship the true Christ. They'll begin to worship the devil at that time. "And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate," because he's the desolator, "even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate, even until the seventh trumpet, The seventh vial, which is poured out into the air upon the desolator, is how that should be translated, desolator rather than desolate, and within the time frame of the seventh seal, that half hour, 2.5 months, is half of 5 months. And this covenant is the covenant of a one-world political system. That first beast written of in Revelation 13, where the first verse, properly translated, makes it totally clear that the one-world political system does not emerge until Satan and his angels are cast from heaven to the earth at the woe of the fifth trumpet. And it reads as follows, being properly translated. Check this out in your companion Bible. Bullinger makes the note that it should say he stood. In the note on chapter 12, verse 17, he stood on the sand of the sea, the subject of Revelation 12, 17 being the dragon. Remember, he was cast out of heaven in Revelation 12. And the dragon stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And remember, those 10 horns were part of Daniel's fourth beast, which is exclusively supernatural. And if you read Daniel 7 carefully, you'll see that that fourth beast is sentenced to perish. Only Satan and his angels are damned. Everybody else has an opportunity during the millennium to get their act together and stand against Satan after the 1,000 years are finished, whereby they don't go into the lake of fire, where they are blotted out of existence. And as it's written in Revelation 17:12, these 10 fallen angel kings receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, the 5-month-long hour of temptation. The reason this one-world political system is so successful at first may be due to the flying vehicles of the fallen angels written of in Revelation chapter 9, verse 9, being used to portray a clear and present external threat to the human race, causing all nations to join together in a one-world government to quote-unquote save the world.